Thank you for tuning in on WCYN's free mobile app or online at WCYN.com. WCYN only streams talk shows, news, and local sporting events. We are not permitted to stream Major League Baseball or copyrighted song performances. If you are attempting to listen to one of our talk programs...
It's Wednesday, April 24th, and you're tuning in to Coffee Break here on WCYN's 1400 AM and 101.3 FM. Today's show is being brought to you by Flower Depot, Sorrel Home Medical, Whalen & Company, Cockrell's Auto Center, Van Hook Hardware, Ewalt's Groceries, Eastside Pharmacy, Hinton Mills, E.D. Bullard & Company. Now let's say good morning to our host. It's Doug Miller.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Coffee Break. About 51 degrees out there right now. And we were discussing the weather, Reed and I were earlier. And, well, Reed, you know, I think you and I have the same dichotomy of opinion that I had with your predecessor, Trent.
Yeah, apparently.
You like it cold and I like it hot. Yeah, that's what Trent was like. He used to think I was crazy because I'd complain if it got under 50 degrees. But what are we going to do today with the weather?
Yeah, we're looking at 67 is the high. We may reach around 67 around, what, 3 p.m.?
Yeah.
It's going to be a little overcast. I mean, just slightly cloudy, but sunshiny all day. Clear, no rain. It's a clear night. Air quality is great.
Yeah.
No major wind. I mean, it's six miles per hour to up to 13 maybe later in the day. So
could be worse weather-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly
definitely,
could be worse.
Definitely.
Still waiting for spring to completely spring. You know, a little note for older NFL football fans. And when I say older, I'm talking about somebody about my age, okay? In the 60s, had the AFL and the NFL and a lot of great ball players. But one that most people my age will remember of that era was a gentleman by the name of Roman Gabriel, who played for the then Los Angeles Rams. They became St. Louis, now they're back, but they were in L.A. then. And he was a great ball player, but I saw where he died. I think he was like 87 years old or so.
Wow, okay.
But people, you don't know who I'm talking
about.
Oh,
that's way, way before my time.
I always thought he had a great name for Roman Gabriel.
Oh, yeah, it's a fantastic
I think
name.
He played college ball maybe at South Carolina or something, but I just happened to see that in the newspaper yesterday, so I'm going to mention that. I got a young man on radio with me this morning, O'Reed. You got something else, or did you have?
No, Yeah, I noticed. I probably want to, yeah, very, very young. He looks like a very distinguished gentleman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he is very distinguished.
He was combing
right
his hair
smart cookie
earlier.
Too. He is, huh?
He was combing his hair earlier when he got here. Make sure he looked good on the radio.
Yeah. Well, good morning, Billy.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh goodness! And I'll just let you do it, sir. Your name and occupation, please.
All right. You got my name.
Yeah. I got part of it. You got to get the last name, the Grayson part. Yeah.
Grayson part. Okay. Bill Grayson. Yes.
Hi, Billy. How you doing?
Doing good.
Always good to have you back. Did you? You remember the name Roman Gabriel? I'm sure he used to.
The name is familiar. Yeah, yes. Yeah, I didn't put it any certain place, but I did remember the name. Yes.
I don't know. For some reason, I always thought he was a good quarterback, and he was, in fact, a good one. Yeah.
Well, I'm not into the baseball. Yes, I am. We've been watching more, but the Reds have got this one young player, and I can't even tell you what his name is, but he's captured me.
You're talking about Ellie De La Cruz.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. He's captured me too.
I'm telling you. Yes.
Unbelievable. The stuff he does.
So I know.
Boy, he hit the field. I mean, big time last year, and did some marvelous things. I think they, you know, it toned him down a little bit. You know, after a while, I guess the pitchers get used to him and things like that. But he can do much more than hit. Okay. He's something else.
Well, let's talk baseball for a minute.
All right. Well, let's do that, Billy.
Yeah. Last year, he was on first. He stole second.
Yeah.
Stole third.
Yeah.
The pitcher on the mound glanced over his shoulder someplace else, and he stole home. You know, he just didn't stop. Now, last night, he got a home run left-handed. He may get one today right-handed. It's just enthusiasm, I guess, is what's caught me. He is full of enthusiasm.
Yes, he is, indeed.
Yeah, and that's just so that's great, you know.
I was talking about it one morning earlier this week, or maybe last week, but I saw where he had broken some record for the number of home runs and stolen bases in the first 20 games of the season. Mm-hmm. The record holder, well, it goes back to 1922.
Yeah. Well, I think last night, I think that made him 22.
22,
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's something else.
I know. I love to watch him. Yeah.
We need to go watch him up there live and in person, Billy. You know, we'll have to have our connections with the Reds. You know, we
get a bus and about 10-15 go. And
But it's.
Well, here
have
I go.
Have you been to Great American Ballpark?
I'm sorry.
Have
yes.
You, have you?
Yes.
It's something, isn't it?
Only one time. I've been once. I
remember going to Crosley Field when I was very small.
Yes, I went there several times.
Yeah, well, a whole different thing. Now, you know, I say being in Great American Ballpark to me is like being in a pinball machine. It's just lights and everything all around you, you know, something going on. And, of course, Riverfront, I liked Riverfront. But, you know, that's when they had those cookie-cutter stadiums where the multi-purpose football and baseball both, and they had Three Rivers in Pittsburgh, and a lot of them were pretty much the same, but... And they went back to making ballparks ballparks. They started that with that one in Baltimore, remember, and making them more like a park setting, and that's what Great American is. But it's a hoot to go there. It really is.
I may get the itch to go one of these days. I don't know. I'm getting a little on the ornery side. That chair feels awful good. And
you know, Billy, we were talking. You heard me mention Roman Gabriel, 87 years old now. That's 3 years younger than you, Billy. And we've mentioned Billy has in January. Is that right?
Yes.
What day in January is your birthday?
January 5.
January the 5th. You will turn 90 years old, Billy.
I did, yes.
And you get up every morning and live a full day still.
I got up too early this morning. I won't tell you what it is.
Billy was getting ready before we got on the air. I think they run the music before we had time to finish our conversation, but Billy was saying something like, I mentioned to you I just turned 70 earlier this month, okay?
Gotcha. Yes.
And you said you were going to give me a tip or something. I said, Billy, you don't have to give me any tip. I'm just glad it can be done. You proved to me I can live another 20 years. And you're not stopping yet, Billy. I mean, good night. You might be one of these people live to be 120 years old, you know?
Well, I haven't stopped, but if you watch me, you see I've slowed a lot. So,
well, we all have slowed, Billy.
Slowed a lot, yes.
Most of us have slowed down a little bit by the time we're 35, really.
And I'm not as smart as I used to be. I've forgotten a lot of stuff. So, Doug, there's some strings tied to it.
Well, I have a theory about that. John Swinford used to say he didn't know anything about computers like me, but he did understand that they had a maximum, you know, memory.
Yeah,
he used to say our brain is... you got to purge it every now and then, get the old stuff out and the new stuff in. You know, I made a comment to somebody, and this just sounds morbid. I don't mean to be morbid. But at the age I'm at now, Billy, in terms of putting a name with a face, I know more people that have passed on than I do that are living. Are you that? You're probably that way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm getting back on coffee break with you here in a minute. I was here in January, and we talked about that very thing. Mm-hmm. And we talked about Battle Grove because some of us have noticed our population changed. You go to a restaurant now and you look at the people you don't know.
Yeah.
And so we talked about Battle Grove a little bit, about it was formed in 1868 and kind of did some of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because of that very thing you're talking about, you know, population growth and the loss change of our friends and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, one thing we were talking about was space in the cemetery as, you know, our little town's getting bigger, and we want that. But you kind of put anyone's fears aside. We got a lot of room left at Battle Grove now, don't we, with the additional land that's been purchased in recent years, right?
Battle Grove is sound and additional land. Yes, there's 48 acres down the old Lyre Road for future development, and I always talk about the founders, I guess, the coordinators or whatever you want to talk about. Battle Grove, it put Battle Grove together. Their vision was right, and it was so firm, and I said vision because they looked to today. They look from 1868 up to 2024. It's amazing what we do today is what they had set up.
They had a lot of foresight.
One of the features was when I went up there, I joined the Kentucky Cemetery Association, and we have meetings. And one of those meetings, it came up that people were bringing monuments into the cemetery, and some of them would sometimes go extreme and carve some things on there that shouldn't be on there, some vulgar kinds of stuff, some swear words and things.
Yeah.
And so I explained that to our trustees. This has been several years ago, and we decided that, oh, we better watch. We'll put it in the minutes that if a monument would come in with these kind of things, that we had permission to take it out so they could get it corrected or whatever. And we put that in our minutes. Well, I went back then into the book, because at the time I did this, I hadn't been there very long. I went back to the original meetings that they had, and it was already in there.
Really? Huh. How about
1868, that? It was almost word for word that we put in there in early 2000. I couldn't believe it. That they had that kind of vision, almost word for word, that many years ago.
A lot of foreseeability there, really. And, I mean, the original tract of the cemetery, I don't know how many acres it was exactly, but it lasted for a long, long time.
It has.
When they made Battle Grove and the original, I guess, trustees.
Yes.
We were talking about this before in terms of superintendents. How many have there been before you?
I'm the 10th one.
You're the 10th one in all those years, which I think is one reason that things have been successful up there. You've had some consistency.
And two of those were father and son and husband and wife. So actually, as far as different families, it was eight. Only had been eight.
Yeah.
And also... and we were talking about this, and they, there was about 60 people went together and formed a committee to do this Battle Grove, and they divided in groups, and a group went out looking for funds, and another looking for locations.
Well, the main reason for Battle Grove in the first place, Billy, of course, our original main cemetery for Cynthiana was down on North Church Street, what we call the old graveyard. I don't know what, if it ever had a real name or not. But it was full, and I guess we had to do something else, and then that's when Battle Grove came about. Yeah.
And to show you how sincere they were, at that time, land, I looked this all up once, land was bringing about $14 an acre.
Really?
For what we call average land.
Isn't that something?
Prime land was bringing $23, $24, $25 an acre.
Yeah.
This group of people paid $200 an acre for the Battle Grove Cemetery.
Prime land.
So they were insistent on getting what they wanted, where they wanted it, and why they wanted it, I guess.
And, of course, at the time, Battle Grove was really outside of town.
In the country.
It was in the country.
Yes.
I guess probably, I'm thinking of, some of the older houses on Pike Street that may have been around at the time Battle Grove was erected. The Poindexter House, where the Salins lived for a long time, and the house across the street from it. I don't know if they were there then or not, but that would have been about as far as Cynthiana went at the time, I would say, right? Maybe Elmarch area, maybe.
Yes, the oldest house in the county at that time, there's a house on the corner of Battle Grove and Highland they claim was one of the oldest houses in Harrison County at that time.
But I'm just kind of thinking, how far Cynthiana were going. And at one point you were telling me, I think, didn't they make a sidewalk or a walkway to get out to Battle Grove?
Well, there was a committee formed, and I don't think I said everybody did do it. They wanted to build a wooden sidewalk.
From
city limits to Battle Grove, So it definitely was in the country,
Battle Grove was definitely in the country then. And, of course, Battle Grove is, named that because that was the Civil War, one of the areas where we had a battle here in Cynthiana.
Absolutely.
Billy Grayson, superintendent of the Battle Grove Cemetery. And, we got off talking a little bit of history. A lot of the history of Cynthiana and Harrison County is memorialized at Battle Grove Cemetery. Yeah, starting with the Civil War on. And before that, our old cemetery downtown, old graves, a few 18th century graves, I think, down there. Maybe, I believe.
I'd say so, yes.
We'll be back with Billy. As always, the Knuff Law text line is open, 855-650-4851. If you're thinking about something this morning, Billy and I want to know about it and talk about it with you on Coffee Break in quarter two after this.
Woof, woof. Arf, arf. Honey, can I stop barking and come out of the doghouse now?
Not until you remember what day it is today.
Thursday?
Keep barking. Woof, maybe woof. Next time he'll remember arf, to go to Flower Depot. He could have gotten a fresh bouquet or something from their wonderful selection of country primitive items like Willow Tree Collectibles.
Woof, woof.
Flower Depot has gifts for every occasion.
Arf, arf.
And they're an exclusive dealer of Camille Beckman.
Oh, is it garbage day?
Keep barking.
Woof, arf.
Flower Depot helps you stay out of the doghouse on Main Street in Cynthiana. Online at flowerdepotfloral.com.
Bark.
Sorrel Home Medical. We want to make you smile.
At Sorrel Home Medical, compassion and customer service are two peas in a pod. We have a selection of home medical equipment needs, and we always aim to please. Come visit us in our showroom at 208 West Pleasant Street in Cynthiana, and you'll find out that Sorrel Home Medical is going to make you smile.
Yeah, come visit us at Sorrel Home Medical for people you know and the service you can trust.
They'll sell your house, they'll sell your farm, and help you buy one too. Don't you see, they've been around since 1953. They'll insure your house, they'll insure your farm, and all your properties. Oh yeah, don't you see, it's Whalen and Company. It's Whalen and Company.
Whalen & Company has some great land for sale located in North U.S. Highway 27 of Cynthiana. The land features over 10-plus acres. It also features a lot, as well as a wooded area, the best of both worlds. For more information, phone McKenzie Leathers at 859-588-8890. That's Whalen & Company, 859-234-5454.
If you have a comment or a suggestion for an upcoming Coffee Break program, call 234-1400 or send us a message at the Coffee Break page on our website at WCYN.com.
For 156 years plus, we've had Battle Grove Cemetery in Cynthiana, and it is a beautiful, and as I say, in the past, award-winning cemetery. It's kind of funny to say award-winning cemetery, but it's a beautiful, beautiful historic place, and the superintendent thereof is our guest on Coffee Break this morning, Billy Grayson. And Billy and I have waxed historic so far this morning, but we got off on conversations off the air and mentioned some people big-time work they did in memorializing the history of Harrison County. But how we got on it, we were talking about how far Cynthiana went out toward Battle Grove in 156 years ago, and I mentioned that at the front of Grandview Subdivision, Billy, they've got a big pot-looking thing. For years, they put flowers or something in it. And I remember when I was younger, we messed around, climbed on it and everything else. You couldn't hurt it. It's made out of cast iron or something. And I never did know what it was, really. And we never did question it. We just thought it was a flower pot, you know. But I learned in later years that it was actually a horse watering device, trough, if you want to call it that, I guess. And they would have those, you know, at the outskirts of a lot of the towns for people coming and going to stop and let your horse get a drink of water. And I never did know that. But we were talking about, I think you said, well, how did you find out? I believe that I learned that from the one and only George Slade. Mm-hmm. I think George told me that. But you George and Harold, you were talking about them, yeah.
George and Harold Slade, yes, they were fantastic. I got acquainted with George a little bit more, and I can't tell you exactly how, but we would talk about irises and, of course, flowers in Battle Grove. And one day he asked me to come up on Pike Street, and I went up there, and he showed me these flowers and two different beautiful irises. I mean, they were beautiful. And he gave me, you don't call them bulbs. I don't know what you call the iris starter, but anyway, he gave me two of them. One of them was named Lucinda Boyd,
The lady who wrote the Chronicles of Cynthiana.
Yes, and the other one was named Chronicles of Cynthiana. And so we took them to Battle Grove and we put...
Oh, the other one was named The Chronicles of Santana. Okay. Yes. So one was named for the author, one was named for the book.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. And then the downside of that, I didn't do a good job with them. Like a lot of things, they're still there.
You mean you still have them?
Oh, yes. I need to clean them out a little bit. It's one of those, you don't put them on your bucket list, it doesn't get done, you know. But he did. He gave us those, and we took them up and set them out. George was in a nursing home. We're getting off on things, but that's okay, I guess.
You know, and of course, folks that don't know it, George and Harold, and I don't want to take away from anyone else, a lot of good people.
Oh, yes.
Unfortunately, many of them no longer with us are the reason we have our Cynthiana Harrison County Museum over here.
Absolutely.
They were big in that, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
But George spent some time in a nursing home, and so these two irises bloomed out, and they looked pretty. And I took some down there.
Oh, good, yeah.
And he was sitting there in the hallway, and I walked up to him, and I gave him Lucinda Boyd's and the Chronicles of Cynthiana.
Yeah.
He started talking, and he had all the employees of the nursing home around him, and he was explaining to them how they get pollinated and all about the process. And he was on cloud nine.
Yeah, oh
and
yeah.
And I'm not taking credit for anything, but it really made me feel good that I took him to him.
Yeah, he could, so many things that he knew about and could do. I mean, really, and Harold too, but I miss them.
And if you're listening out there, the only thing will pollinate an iris is a bumblebee.
Really? Now, you're out of my lane now,
Billy.
Because
they've
got
to be big and heavy to reach down. To get it pollinated. It has to be a bumblebee or it won't get done.
So, really?
Yes, I learned that from George.
So if you have irises around, you need some bumblebees.
Yeah, if you got a bumblebee, don't chase it off. It's got a job to do.
You know, people are scared to death of bumblebees because they're such a large insect and they are formidable looking, but they won't, you know, I've been stung by wasps and hornets and bees like most of us have. If you've lived, you've been stung by something. I've been around bumblebees. They don't seem to bother you.
They seem to ease away from you.
You ever heard of anybody being stung by a bumblebee? I'm sure there's somebody out there.
Unless you stepped on one on the ground.
Yeah, maybe like that. Yeah. But they're one of the biggest stingers out there, and they don't seem to bother us much.
A little horticultural lesson this morning from George Slade.
I did not know. So you got to have a specific type of a bumblebee.
Because of the size and weight.
Yeah.
There
you go.
Got a job to do.
I hope you have some bumblebees around for those irises, Billy. Yeah.
This has been interesting this morning, Doug. I've enjoyed this.
Well, Billy, from time to time when somebody comes in and they say, what are we going to talk about? I say, well, something will happen. So we've covered George Slade and irises and bumblebees this morning. I tell you something that we ought to cover, though, Billy, that I almost feel like it's my duty to have you cover. One reason that we have a wonderful, beautiful cemetery is because there are rules. And you got to have that to keep anything beautiful and orderly. But it's springtime, Billy. And, of course, we've got Memorial Day coming up, and people tend to decorate and do things with the resting places of their loved ones when weather's better. I guess there's some do's and don'ts as to what we can put on graves this time of year, Billy. You want to go through that real quick just so people will know?
Yes, we do. It's not easy sometimes to cover some of these things, but the last day for artificial flowers was April 6th.
Okay, so that's over.
We were fortunate this year because we were able to leave them through Easter and that kind of thing. It worked out nice. And our spring cleanup began April the 8th. And, of course, we've got some printed guidelines that people need to pick up the print or anything, print out to see what we actually do. And I've got to make a little comment about that. We actually let people down through the winter months and late last fall. Some of the items were there, and we did not remove them, and we should have. So we accumulated quite a bit of things, and I think people kind of took for granted it was okay. So when we started this spring, a little more difficult because we didn't do our job really good late last fall and stuff. But most people understand it. And the number one thing is...
Billy, you got how many people you got on the staff up there working?
Right now we've got three full-time.
You got three full-time, and you could use 50. I mean, really, that's part of it.
We've got some part-time. One's in the school system. We'll come up when school's out. And I've got another gentleman the other day. So we've got some part-time and helping us a lot, yes.
Yeah. Well, you're being hard on you guys up there, telling us you didn't do a real good job. I think y'all do a great job with the manpower that you have. It's amazing, really. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm probably one of the only people that with Coffee Break will bring pictures to you. And I don't do this in a negative way, but I know that our people in Cynthia and Harrison County and our neighboring counties, I want to show a couple pictures. I want you to elaborate on them.
Right.
We don't want this to happen to Battle Grove, your cemetery.
Okay. You're,
it's your cemetery, and we're doing our best to keep it to where you'll be proud of it. I'm just going to give you a couple of these, Doug, and this is extreme.
I haven't seen any of these yet.
This is extreme, but we don't want to get into that part of...
Is that in our cemetery?
Of our cemetery, yeah, absolutely. And safety is a big part of that.
But, well, I mean, if you can make a sideshow out of a grave site, that's what they've done there. And I'm not going to say the name or anything.
No, absolutely.
But, mm-hmm. I mean, good night. I mean, it's a potpourri of everything. And, you know, Billy, people put things on gravestones and on graves. I mean, good night. Our hearts are bleeding, and we want to put something on there in memory. But, I mean, good night, Billy. That's a bit much. He's showing me a picture here, folks, of a headstone. And, I mean, well, it don't belong in Battle Grove, okay? I mean, they've just got all kinds of junk hanging around. And again, I don't mean junk. It's stuff that means a lot to these folks, okay? But a bit much, a little bit too active for me there, Billy. And this is the same thing there. Good night. It'll take you all a long time to clean that up, Billy. But, I mean, you know, when you see a grave site like that in Battle Grove, Billy, I mean, you all have to go out there. I mean, do you try to notify the people? Well, of course, you don't always know who put it there. But you got to clean that mess up, don't you?
We do. And you were correct in the statement you made there, is because when someone puts something there, there was a meaning for that.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't something just they saw in a garage and I'll take it up to cemetery. No, yeah. It had a meaning to
and
that.
We don't mean to sound cold about it, but no. I mean, you just can't do whatever you want to do up there.
That's true, yes.
You've got to have a little bit of respect for the reverence of other grave sites up there.
And other than solar lights and some of the newer things, that goes back to 1868.
Yeah.
You know, it's in those guidelines.
You found the rule back then, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's in there about taking care of the cemetery and stuff.
Yeah.
But,
But
I will say this. We really didn't do a good job as we should have day to day. But for the most part, we appreciate what people do in Battle Grove. I want to be sure and say that, because we got people that plant flowers, they come in and do things, and what you saw there is very nothing like that. We don't have anything like that at Battle Grove, and we want to prevent that. That's what we're after. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, you know, like I say, you got to respect the reverence of the other grave sites around. And you know, Billy, the things we do, as they say, decorating graves, the things that we do, our rituals, funeral rituals and all that, and you've heard this, I'm not sure, 1,000 times, this is for the living, not the dead.
Yes.
And, I mean, when we do things like that, we need to realize this is for us, to make us feel better. And let's not make somebody that's got a grave next to us feel bad. You know what I'm saying, Billy?
Yes.
And I'm sure they'll call you up and say, Mr. Grayson, my grandfather, my great-grandfather is buried over in this lot, and there's somebody next door that has, got the grill of a 57 Chevy. You know what I'm saying? They were a car nut. You know, you can't, you know, you got to have a little bit of order to keep Battle Grove, Battle Grove.
Yes.
And when I say Battle Grove, people know exactly what I'm talking about. They know exactly where it is and how it looks and what the expectations are. And the rules that Billy's talking about and the things that they can't have, that maintains those expectations.
Yes, we have to have that, yes.
Billy, it is halftime. That is, I never seen. Yeah, well, anyway, what a picture. Okay, coffee break. Reed, are you ready to do some halftime stuff?
Let's do it, Doug.
Reed's ready to go. Coffee break halftime right after this.
Recovering from the trauma of a car accident is stressful enough. Finding a good repair shop shouldn't make it worse. Cockroach Auto Center on US 27 South has been at the same location since July 1981. And with 10 technicians, you will get your repair work done right the first time in a timely manner. So take the anxiety of repair off your shoulders and allow Cockroach Auto Center certified technicians to return your vehicle to its original condition. Cockroach Auto Center, locally owned and operated since 1981.
Van Hook Hardware on Pike Street has a large selection of hardware items. Van Hook's is your UPS service center. Ship UPS free with UPS drop-off. Like Van Hook Hardware on Facebook for the latest updates.
Check out these bargains of the month while supplies last or until the end of the month. 5,000 square foot of weed and feed from Green Thumb, $17.99. A 16-pack of AAA or AA Duracell batteries, $14.99. 2 cubic feet of Miracle-Gro potting mix, $9.99 after mail-in rebate. An extra-large zero-gravity chair, $49.99. 3x50 feet black landscape fabric, $5.99. A 50-foot zero-G garden hose, $35.99. 5.5 pounds of garden weed preventer, $13.99. And a 10-pattern hose nozzle, $7.99. Those bargains and a whole lot more at Van Hook Hardware in downtown Cynthiana.
Come and listen to my story about the boys named Clough. They grew up fast, they grew up tough. Then one day Harm said to his heirs, it's time to take over the little store at Lair. Ewald's Grocery, that is. Carhartt coats, pocket tees. Well, the next thing you know, there's clothes everywhere. The kinfolk said, sell boots, we'll buy a pair. Ewald's for all the family, cause they loaded up the store with everything you need. Clothing, that is. Carhartt. Mossy Oak. For the best selection of Carhartt clothes, there is no doubt. It's Ewald's Grocery on 27 South. Just past the fairground at the bottom of the hill. Tell them I sent you and get a good deal. Well, now it's time to say goodbye to the boys out at Lair. They'd like to thank you folks for kindly shopping there. You're all invited back at any time you know. Just to hear them say, have a good one, bro. Ewald's. Set a spell. Try some boots on. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Ewald's Grocery at Lair Station has the biggest names in footwear. Carhartt, Georgia, Muck, Timberland, John Deere, and Irish Setter.
If you have a comment or a suggestion for an upcoming coffee break program, call 234-1400 or send us a message at the coffee break page on our website at WCYN.com.
So there's no misunderstanding. The photograph that Billy gave me, I was describing as, exemplar of what can't and should not be done at Battle Grove Cemetery. That was not in Battle Grove, okay? No. It would have lasted there about 5 minutes, as it should. But basically, it was a photograph of people that had decorated a gravesite in another graveyard cemetery. And it looked like they decorated it for a fall festival or something, Billy. I mean, good night. But like we say, you know, and you mentioned it as we were off the air, when you do take something off a grave, it's done with the recognition that the person that put that on there did it with their heart.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you're not being cold to people's emotions, but you got to have a little bit of order. Okay, it is halftime, Billy, so you know what we got to do here. I just might let you do it today, Billy. The City Bus Magazine time is 8:33 a.m. Our deal of the week item. Ed is going to sell it now, folks, at about 5 or 10 till 10 on the Trading Post show Friday. What you need to do is go to WCYN.com, click on Deal of the Week. You'll see that once again we have a beautiful case knife from Amerson Farms over in Georgetown. This particular knife is described thusly. It is a Case White synthetic rough jig, peanut stars and stripes knife. Is that a long enough name for you, Billy? Yeah. $70 is what the knife would cost you retail. But right now, is it still $55, Reed? $55 is a high bid on a knife. This is one of the more interesting looking case knives. It's basically all white, but it does have kind of a oval-shaped stars and stripes on it with the case logo. And as we say, most, if not all, of these case knives are collectible. What else? Do we have anything else for halftime, Reed, that I've forgotten to do here? I don't think so.
No, I think we're good.
Billy, you got anything for halftime? Billy has nothing. Knupp Law text line, as always, is open, 855-650-4851. If you have a question or comment, I got a guy here this morning that knows a lot, folks. We're talking about the cemetery. But, Billy, how many years did you work at IBM?
IBM?
Yeah.
Right at 25.
25. And, of course, that was in the days when IBM was Big Blue.
Yes.
The Selectrics.
Absolutely.
Changed the world, really. It changed the world.
Drove up every day and back, yeah.
Yeah. And you had, what was your position there when you quit or when you retired, I should say?
I started out as a toolmaker and department technician into management and engineering. Yeah. And back into management, and then that was it.
When you take a you're talking about a toolmaker, you were fabricating things to use to make typewriters or to put in them or what?
They made the dies and things that made the parts to make the dies that made the parts.
An exact science.
it was at IBM, yes. When the heat of your hand could make a difference on the dimension. Yeah, it's It was close.
If you're dealing with working with something, the heat, your body heat could compromise the integrity of the part?
I exaggerated a little bit, but we had some equipment that if you wanted to do a grinding job or something on this particular equipment, you had a thermometer on it and you turned it on, and so it'd be consistent with a certain degree that you run that part at. And because the dimensions, but Doug, it wasn't just IBM. It's that way today. If you drove from here to California today, you maybe see three cars on the side of the road. You know, the machining, the technology, the heat treating, and all is just fantastic. And I was one of those. I go back to a young man. I was one of those persons that were blessed to be able to do different jobs. I never ever got bored, never bored, because it was always something different.
Yeah.
And when I had engineering, I had some vendors, and I'd go to the vendor shops and stuff, and I was a fortunate individual.
Well, International Business Machines, IBM, was the leader and always on the cusp of, you know, that type of technology. And I mean, you had almost a monthly update, didn't you? I mean, we're going to do this differently. Hey, they've got this now. Some other outfits doing this. And then, you know, the amazing thing, and of course, you know, these young people that see, you know, what we do technology-wise with word processing on computers and stuff, this may not be impressive. But when they came out with the ball, that was amazing, Billy.
Yes.
And it's still, mechanically, it is amazing steel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you work on those?
Oh, yes.
That's the old Selectrics.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There was the machines that gauged those and set them, and
And people don't know what I'm talking about. If you're young, on your traditional typewriter, you'd hit a key, and there would be like an arm with each letter on it that would go up and strike the paper.
Yeah.
And if you were real fast, that was pretty fast, but IBM came up with the ball, and it was actually a round ball that had all the characters, the alphabet and the characters that you'd type with on it. And this thing, when you hit it, would turn in what? Less than a split second, Billy.
Yes.
Less than a tenth of a second.
Oh, yes.
It was faster.
Yes.
And I remember the first time I saw one of those. I went, good night. We're in the space age.
The secretary up at Battle Grove, her daughter just graduated from college this past year, and she came up to the office one day, about a year ago, and we showed her the typewriter, and she had never typed on a typewriter.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, never. So technology's... Yeah. It's all changed, of course.
I know some oldsters, though, that still either have or would love to have a Big Blue again. And I say the Big Blue, I'm talking about the IBM Selectrics typewriter, which basically changed the business world. It really did.
Yeah.
It was the best that it ever got before we actually went to computer word processing.
The sad part about it is we have some up at the office, and it needs to be repaired. We had a guy at Clintonville over in Bourbon County that could repair, and he retired and age got to him, and we can't find anybody that can repair them today. That's what we've been trying to find.
But, you know, an IBM, and, of course, you know, what are they now? It's Lexmart now, isn't it? Isn't that what they are now? And they basically do make, well, I know they make printers.
I think, printers.
But it's a different industry, really. Totally. It's an industry to serve digital age rather than the mechanical age, I guess. But in the day, I mean, good night. If there was a bigger industrial concern in this part of the country, I don't know what it was, Billy. IBM was huge. It still is a huge plant.
I'll make a statement here, and it's not, it doesn't embarrass me to say it. Today, I could not work.
You couldn't walk in there and go to work?
No. Right. When I went into IBM and did my thing, I was okay. That was my time and year, and it was okay. But if everything fast forward and I walked in there today, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, it's a whole different world.
I couldn't do it, no.
Whole different world.
I couldn't do it. There was things happening when I left that was leaving me.
You saw the changes coming.
Still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, they had to change because obviously their technology had been surpassed.
Absolutely, yes.
And it was either change or go under. But, I mean, you know, until Toyota, I guess, came to Georgetown, that was as big of an industrial concern as we had around here, and so many people. Yes. I mean, how many people we know have worked at IBM at one time or another, Billy? Or their
and we're blessed family. Right here with the 3M and the Bullards.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I gotta be
yeah.
careful here; I could leave somebody out. But we're blessed.
Well, I mean, good night. We've got here in Cynthiana, Billy. Bullard is a worldwide outfit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can go to France and see a Bullard helmet. I mean, they're everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And 3M. I mean, good night. When they came to town, it changed the course of things around here. And, I mean, you know, we've got a factory here, if you will, in Cynthiana that makes a product that is all over the world. I'm talking, of course, the Post-it notes. And they're all made here.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
I mean, there's somebody in New York City, in London, England, in Melbourne, Australia, sitting at their desk this morning with a Post-it note. With their phone number, somebody's phone number, or a business address, or something on it, and it was made out here on New Lyre Road, Billy. That's big. And I mean, you know, we've had industry come and go in Cynthiana. You know, we had, you know, obviously Big Burley's gone. That was our thing for years, was our warehouses. But I mean, you know, I still see the door on my state office is a Conier door.
They still make them. Today.
That must have been a hell of a product, Billy, because you see Conier doors. Mm-hmm. I think the one, maybe I'm wrong about this now, I think the one like still on Bianchi's is a Conier door.
I'm not sure.
But you see, they're still out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're work making, well.
Yeah, they're making them. I think they make them in Georgia or somewhere. I'm not sure. But
yeah. Do they still have the plant in Carrollton? I have to ask Lee Kendall. Yeah. Do they still have the one in Carrollton?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's basically, you know, we had the UAW come in here. You remember that? They had their office on Walnut Street down there, and that was one time in Cynthiana where we did have a little bit of a dichotomy in how people thought about things around here. And I won't say it was because or not because of the UAW, but that's when Conier left. And basically, I don't know if everything went up to Carrollton, I guess. But, boy, they had a press out there, Billy. I remember when I was a kid, when that thing would hit, you could feel it in the ground about 400 yards away, really.
Well, see, I worked on those for 14 years before I went to IBM. So,
Did you work a car?
I did.
That.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Matter of fact, that's where I got my training as a toolmaker.
Really?
I was a timekeeper at Conier, and then they had some tests, some programs, mm-hmm. and there was about eight of us. Went to Cincinnati two nights a week for 4 years, and we became German toolmakers.
Yeah.
And I was a toolmaker at Conier for a few years.
So that's kind of where you got your start in that area.
Yes, and then that's how I got my foot in the door at IBM. And
well, you did a good job making the molds and for those doors, Billy, because they still work well.
Yeah, it worked out.
You know, now, Conier was a dangerous place. We didn't have a lot of OSHA and stuff then, and they had some type of an acid or something out there they used in a big vat. And I know we lost some workers, I think, tragically, in that, if I remember. Am I right about that, Billy?
We had one individual.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bad accident. Mm-hmm. Nobody's fault, but... industry's a lot safer than it used to be.
Oh, yes.
IBM was a pretty safe, clean place to work even in the day, wasn't it?
Yes.
And 3M, I mean, even when it was a machine assembly plant, good night. You could eat off the floor out there then. I haven't been out there since they've been making the post-it notes. But Billy Grayson on Coffee Break this morning. Billy, we don't have any text. That's because what we're talking about is so interesting that people are just, you know.
Well, I hope we're not boring.
They don't want to interrupt. Hey, no, the text line's open, 855-650-4851. We'll talk more with Billy and you after this.
Are you searching for a reliable pharmacy? Eastside Pharmacy is here for you, proudly serving our community as a family-owned and operated Health Mart pharmacy since 1974. At Eastside Pharmacy, your health is our priority. Our friendly and knowledgeable team of pharmacists is dedicated to providing personalized care and exceptional service to each and every customer. Need a prescription filled? Count on us for fast and efficient service. We offer convenient online prescription refills and hassle-free transfers from other pharmacies. We're here to make your life easier. As a Health Mart pharmacy, we bring you a wide range of high-quality products. From prescription medications to over-the-counter remedies and health and wellness essentials, we've got you covered. So whether you need a prescription-filled health advice or a friendly smile, Eastside Pharmacy is here for you. We're proud to serve you.
Man's best friend. We know that dogs are not only an important part of the farm, but also an important part of your family. At Hinton Mills, we only sell the products that we'd be proud to feed our own dogs. We believe every dog is worthy of the best nutrition. We also believe every dog owner deserves a great value. Hinton Mills has a wide selection of pet food at the lowest prices around, and we'll load it in your car for you. Come and see for yourself and ask us about the products we feed our own dogs. Hinton Mills, serving farmers and their dogs since 1918.
Are you looking to advance your career? Consider matching your expertise with one of the many career opportunities at Bullard. Bullard is a worldwide manufacturer and distributor of personal protective equipment, including hard hats, fire helmets, thermal imaging, and respiratory equipment. Internationally known as the inventor of the hard hat, Bullard is a fifth-generation family-owned company with headquarters right here in Cynthiana, Kentucky. If you're ready to unleash your potential, join our efforts in making the world a safer place, then join our team at Bullard, where we put the personal in personal protective equipment. Explore our career opportunities at www.bullard.com/careers.
If you have a comment or a suggestion for an upcoming Coffee Break program, call 234-1400 or send us a message at the Coffee Break page on our website at wcyn.com.
On Coffee Break with us this morning, Billy Grayson, superintendent of the Battle Grove Cemetery. Billy, you think we ought to mention the cemetery at all today? I mean, you're here for that.
I think so, because I got a confession for you.
Uh-oh, Billy's going to testify. All right, Billy.
Here we go.
You want me to read your rights first? Your Miranda
warning? We talked
about
items and the rules and regulations, and that is kind of the public, the people's responsibility of trying to picking up the guidelines and helping us out and not putting those items on there. Now, from Battle Grove's side, I got to tell you, we have not done a good job with our grave sites. It has bothered me and it has bothered some people. We have an opening and a service, and we want to get that back quick for your benefit, the way you want it and the way you want it, and we have not done a good job with that. And so we had a meeting of the minds 1st of April, and we've talked about that. We have built a new building up there, and we will be putting topsoil in there, and we will have it year-round, and we are making an effort to do a better job for you that we haven't done as well as we should have. So that's a confession, and it's true. And we will try to do a better job with that.
All right. Billy, Reed, is that that's a birthday text? Is that what you were telling me? All right, maybe I missed one here, Billy. I think you've drawn a text here, Billy, this morning. And Reed is coming in to orient me properly to that. You know what I was thinking of, Billy? I was listening. You know, you can tell that you've had an effect in your life if people quote you, okay? And you're often quoted around here. Yeah. I tell people that when that's what I got right there, Reed. I don't know if that's the right one or not. Okay, yeah. That one, okay, yeah. Billy, come over here and fix this thing. Billy could probably work. No, what I was saying, As I see the mayor walked in, when I first started doing the coffee break show, I don't know, a good night, it'd be 15 years ago, I think, this summer. That's incredible. No wonder I'm 70 years old. Anyway, there were three shows that I did where people came in, and I'm thinking, well, I'm all for you, but good luck. One of them was when those guys came in and said, we're going to have a car show to fill up the whole town, one of the biggest car shows ever around this part of the state. I said, well, boys, I'm for you. I love that stuff, but good luck. Then we had those three guys come in. We're going to resurrect the Ross Theater. We're going to have movies and everything else down there, entertainment. We're going to fix the place up. I said, folks, I'm all for you. I love the Ross, but have at it. That's going to be tough. And then you, Billy Grayson, comes in and says, we're going to fill up or fix up the old City Hall. And I said, I'm all for you. But good luck. And all three of you did it. And Billy, the City Hall is beautiful now. But what you run a city commission in, and where you were quoted, you said, company's coming.
Company's coming.
And you've been quoted on that, Billy, by other leaders in our town. And I said, you know, that's not a good line to remember. So where'd you get that, Billy?
It's just obvious.
A Billyism?
No, it's just obvious. We have a lot of walkers up there. A lot more and more and more all the time, and we really appreciate that. But no, when you drive up Pike Street and you make that turn through that gate, your company.
Yeah.
And company's there.
Company's coming.
So, yeah, we that's absolutely great. I'm glad you brought that up, but you're right. And
But those are three things that I, you know, kind of, I don't want to say I debuted them on Coffee Break, but we certainly presented them. And all three times I'm thinking, man alive, they're taking on a big bite.
The thing that... Yeah, I'm getting away from Battle Grove again.
Well, I'm sorry,
the,
Billy.
The thing
but,
that when you put something on a table, the Keller Dam was one of them.
Yeah.
You know, and the City Hall. But when you put things out and the people want it, it's done. You get out of the way.
Yeah.
You don't have to be get out of the way and it'll be done.
Yeah.
And stand back and watch.
We got some young folks around here now that'll get her done, too.
Yes.
I mean, Billy.
Yeah. You stand back and watch and you stay out of the way, yes. Yeah.
I'm going to read this text here real quick, Billy, while you're getting your next thought there. Obviously, we read birthdays. Ed does that in later programming, but I'm going to read this one because, you know, twins have birthdays on the same day. Do you know Shelly and Shannon, Shelly Meyer and Shannon Farrell? They're the Wade twins. Randy, yeah. Well, wonderful women, really. They both are, and it is their birthday today. So, you know, I guess if you have twins, you have two birthday parties or one for both of them and all that.
Absolutely.
You know? But congratulations, ladies. They are both, I think they turned 20 today. I'm not sure. I hope that was young enough. I didn't want to insult them.
Yes.
You know, Billy, I mentioned this before. Well, you understand this being 89 years old, Billy. But, you know, we're always guarded about women and their ages. I mean, we're taught that, the polite thing, when we're young men. You know, you don't ask a lady her age.
Yeah.
You don't say you don't look that old. You know. But I found that that's true. Women don't like to tell their age until they're about 75 or 80. Then, by golly, they're proud of it, Billy. Yeah. That's true, isn't it? I'm 80 years old. Don't give me none of that.
It is, and I have tried to caught that in the last, when I first turned 90. And yeah, we would talk about it, but. Since then, because that was just January.
You turned 90 last January.
This past January.
Yeah.
But right. I'm backing off of that some, yes. I try to not get into that too much. But it's a habit thing. If you, your conversation, you'll toss it out once in a while.
When did you say your birthday was? January the 8th, did you say?
January 5th.
5th, excuse me. Well, we'll try to, I don't know what January the 5th of 25, what day that lands on, Billy, but I'd like to have you here on your 91st birthday.
Well, we'll put it down, see what happens.
Well, I was talking to Bruce Florence. She was on the show with me Friday, and we were talking about, I mentioned my 70th birthday, and I made reference, do you remember George Burns, of course? George, of course, lived a good night. He was 90-something years old, I think, yes. Billy. And not in as good a shape as you, though, Billy. George had a rougher life than you. Well, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I think George smoked and, you know, did a lot of the vices. But he still lived to be 90-something, I think. Yeah. And the story was is that they was asking George how many candles to put on his birthday cake, and he said, just set the damn thing on fire. So, Billy, we'll have to find 91 candles, okay?
You want
to
put on that one?
Yeah. We'll get somebody to have a birthday cake and eat on coffee break. How about that?
We'll look for that.
Yeah, we'll try to do that.
We'll see what happens.
I'll have my people talk to your people. We'll get that worked out, Billy.
We'll talk about it, yeah.
It should have been your 90th birthday because that's the decade, but, you know, we'll go 91 with you.
The thing that I will remember about, they had a little party for me.
Did they, Billy? Yeah, a little party on your 90th
birthday. Yes, I got a T-shirt that says, what did it say? It's different or something, being the same age as old people.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, Billy, that was a text I got on the business phone there.
No, that's fine. No, but I'll close up here.
Yeah, Billy, close the show. You got about 2 or 3 minutes, and I apologize
just,
for
a couple
getting,
notes there. Well, gate now closes at dark, so that's it always does close at dusk, but usually I want you to know that for sure. I want to talk about emolument sales for a few minutes. Let people know that if you do something at Battle Grove with granite, every penny goes into the Battle Grove.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's no commission, nothing like that involved.
And Battle Grove, of course, is basically a nonprofit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. And then I got a few notes here, but I do appreciate the Walkers. I mentioned that before. Our memory garden, cremation memory garden, people are liking it for cremations. And I'll toss out this. We do have what we call now a dual lot usage. We've had that now for a few years, that one lot can actually have two interments on it, two cremations, or one in ground, one cremation. But that's about my wrap up for Battle Grove today. I've enjoyed our conversations. I always do.
Well, Billy, you know, sometimes we talk a little bit about the subject that you're here for, but most of the time not. that's what they say about the show, Billy. The people will come down here with a subject, and I will get them off on something else invariably, it seems. But no, really, Billy, I do appreciate you coming down, and I do like to pick your brain far beyond Battle Grove because, 90 years is a lot of life experience, Billy, and you're a valuable asset to our community in many ways, and we appreciate what you and the board do to make sure that Battle Grove Cemetery continues to be the beautiful, reverent place that it is. Yeah.
I'm a small-town USA person. I always will be, and I enjoy every day. Yeah.
Billy, let's give the credit to the rest of the crew that helps us take care of Battle Grove. The trustees, you got their names here.
Absolutely.
Elvina Clayton, Esther Coy, Jim Swinford, Ron Florence, Charlie Bianchi, Greg Jones, and Gene Ritchie. That's the board of trustees that operate the Battle Grove Cemetery. But Billy is a supervisor. And Billy, you said you had three people working up there. Give us their names real quick.
Gary Thomas, Larry Feeback, and Richard Lanner.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All righty. But Billy, as always,
is one more real quick. Vicki Wright is the secretary in the office. She just does a tremendous job. Yes, there I'm sorry. Go.
Billy Grayson, ladies and gentlemen, we always appreciate you coming on, Billy, and don't be a stranger. We'll have you on often. But, Billy, I'm thinking about this 91st birthday party, Billy. Maybe get the band down here, okay? We'll get a band in. Maybe get JoJo Gunn or George Moulton to come in. Do you want dancers, Billy, or not? Do we need dancers or not?
My biggest thing is who's going to come and get me?
Billy, we expect you to show up on your own, okay? That's the only requirement. You got to be able to get to your 91st birthday.
All right, I won't forget that.
I'll tell you what, you probably got a better shot of making it than me, Billy, okay?
I'll put that on my calendar. I get back up there, we'll put it down.
Be like Billy Grayson. Keep living a long, long time on the air in Cynthiana.
Thank you, Doug, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in with us here on Coffee Break. Today's show is being brought to you by Flower Depot, Sorrel Home Medical, Wayland & Company, Cockrell's Auto Center, Van Hook Hardware, Ewald's Grocery, Eastside Pharmacy, Hinton Mills, and E.D. Bullard Company. The views and opinions expressed during today's show have been those of the guest and host.
and are not necessarily those of the WCYN staff, management, or advertisers.